श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादम् शङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो देयर इज समथिंग कॉल्ड मनीषा पंचकम ओके वी विल चैंट दैट सो यू कैन चैंट आफ्टर मी जाग्रत स्वप्न सुषुप्तिषु स्फुटतरा या संविदुज्रुम्भते या ब्रह्मादी पिपीलिकांततनुषु प्रोता जगत्साक्षिणी सैवाहं न च दृश्यवस्त्विति दृढप्रज्ञापि यस्यास्ति चेत् चाण्डालोस्तु स तु द्विजोस्तु गुरुरित्येषा मनीषा मम ब्रह्मैवाहमिदं जगच्च सकलम् चिन्मात्रविस्तारितम् सर्वं चैतदविद्यया त्रिगुणया अशेषं मया कल्पितम् इत्थं यस्य दृढा मतिः सुखतरे नित्ये परे निर्मले चाण्डालोस्तु स तु द्विजोस्तु गुरुरित्येषा मनीषा मम शश्वन्नश्वरमेव विश्वमखिलम् निश्चित्य वाचा गुरो नित्यं ब्रह्म निरन्तरं विमृशता निर्व्याज शान्तात्मना भूतं भावि च दुष्कृतम् प्रदहता सन्विन्मये पावके प्रारब्धाय समर्पितं स्ववपुः इत्येषा मनीषा मम So we saw how a Chandala, who was none other than Shiva, appeared in form of in front of Shankara, and Shankara said, Apasara, Apasara. And he asked the question, who should go away? Apasara means move away. Who should go away? Annamayat, Annamayam, Athava, Chaitanyameva, Chaitanyat. He Dvijavara, Duri Kartum Vanchasi, Kimbruhi Gachagacheti. What are you asking to move away? This physical body, which is nothing but a product of food, a modification of food, or one consciousness from another consciousness. What do you want me to move? Tell me. Then he further went on to say what? King Gangambuni Bimbitem Baramanau Chandala Vati Payaha Pure Chantaramasti Kanchanaghati Britkumbhayor Vambare प्रत्यग्वस्तु निनिस्तरंग सहजानंदाव बोधां बुधौ विप्रोयं श्वपचोयहं इत्यपि महान् कोयं विभेद भ्रमः He said, What is this great distinction that you have? I am a Vipra, this is a Chandala. I am a Brahmana, twice born, a knowledgeable person. And this one is a Chandala, a person of lower bearing. What kind of difference is this? Is there a difference to the sun, which is shining in the pure sparkling water of the Ganges, and that which is shining in the dirty water which flows through a colony of Chandalas where they are washing the skin of animals and it's smelly, it's dark in color, that putrid water. Is there a difference to the sun or the reflection that shines in them? Because a reflection is nothing but light. It's untouched by the impurity of the water. So is there a difference? Further he said what? Is there a difference to the space which is held in a clay pot, mritkumbha, or kanchana ghati, or a pot which is made up of gold? You have a lot of value for gold, a superimposed value for gold, right? Now, does it make a difference whether the pot is made of gold or it's made up of mud, of clay? Is there any difference to the space held in these two? This is the question that the Chandala asked. So Shankara realized that the person who is confronting him is may be a Chandala, but he knows what is the reality. So Vyavahara, the question is not coming from Vyavahara. Because the person cannot even talk of Mritkumbha and Kanchana Ghata, a clay pot and a gold pot, if he is talking purely absolute. See, there is no talk possible in Paramartha. Paramartha means an absolute reality. At that level, there is no difference. All that is here is one reality. Satchidananda. So if your only your vision is only to that, you cannot even talk of anything. In fact, talk is impossible because there is no I, there is no you. There is nothing except those two. But the person recognizes it and still is able to do Vyavahara. That's a Jnani in this case. The Jnani is able to do Vyavahara and say, okay, what is the difference between Vipra and Chandala? Which means there is an acknowledgement of the observation. In Vyavahara, I see two things. I too see bodies. One which seems to have certain samskaras, another which has a different set of samskaras. The difference is apparent. But in reality, there is no difference. That reality is the standpoint from where the Chandala is questioning. That Viproyam, Shvapachoyam, Iti Mahan, Koyam Vibedaha. What is this difference that you are talking about? Then Shankara opened by saying that Jagrat Swapna Sushuptishu Sputatara Yasam Vidujrumbate. That which shines, Sputatara, which is very clear, very perceptible, as what? I. As a very self-evident I. When? Jagrat Swapna Sushuptishu. In waking, dream and deep sleep. Ya Samvit Ujrumbhate. That conscious, Samvit is consciousness, which shines so clearly in all three states of experience. That same consciousness is what? Ya Brahmadi Pipilikanta Tanushuprota. The same consciousness which is recognized as I in an individual, that same I that we try to recognize in meditation as the self-evident I, that I is Brahmadi Pipilikanta Tanushuprota. The same one is woven into the fabric of this entire universe. Brahmadi, beginning with Brahmaji and Pipilikanta, ending with an ant. So all the way from the biggest to the smallest, a way of showing the entire world is covered. So that which pervades this entire universe, that is the same consciousness which is available here in waking, dream and sleep. That one is what further it is Jagat Sakshini. It is that consciousness which actually objectifies this whole world and appears as the whole world as well. That Saivaham. I am that Jagat Karanam Brahma alone. Nacha Drishya Vastu. I am not something different. I am not an object to be objectified like this body or mind. That is not who I am. I am the very nature of the truth of this body, the truth of this world, which is this Brahma, this consciousness. The one who knows this, Saivaham nacha drishya vastu iti dridha pragya yasyasti chet. The one who has this very clear understanding of this fact, that I am not this body, I am not this individual, I am not just this mind, I am not the senses, I am not the prana. We don't make these statements. Statements are what? I am fat, I am tall, body identification. I am hungry, I am sick, prana identification. I am intelligent, manas. See, manas vijnanamaya normally gets mixed up. Vijnanamaya is karta. I am the doer. I accomplished this. I accomplished that. Or, I am a happy person. I enjoy this. I enjoy this is anandamaya. So at every level, there is an identification. So for a person who doesn't have this identification, that pragya I am talking about, dridha pragya means what? Even as one is going through all these experiences, one recognizes the fact that all these are happening in my presence alone. I am just a simple conscious being in whose presence everything is apparent. There is no doing, there is no enjoying by me. I am the witness of the doing and the enjoying. This understanding. And not just a witness of something unconnected. I happen to be the very subject and the object. I alone am manifest in the form of the subject and the object. This clarity, dridha pragya, very clear understanding, one who has chandalostu satudvijostu guruhu ityesha manisha mama. Whether he appears in the form of a chandala or he appears in the form of an exalted teacher, I consider as a vipra, chandalostu dvijostu, a twice born, a brahmana, in my mind, he is a guru alone. Guru hu ityesha. Who's guru? Not somebody's guru. My guru. Adi Shankara's guru. So Acharya is saying, any person who has this clarity is my guru. And as I said, guru means Ishvaro Guru Ratmeti Murti Bheda Vibhagine. For Adi Shankara to call him a guru means he is not other than Ishvara. Therefore, Shankara does a pranama. Ityesha Manisha Mama. This is my clear understanding. This is my conviction. There is no doubt in my mind that you are not other than Ishvara. You are not other than my guru. This is how I look at you. So where is the question now of sending anybody away? Question was, who should go away? The body or the consciousness? He did not say body should go away or consciousness should. Why? Because there is no two things. Only if there is two, you can ask one to move away from another. When all that is here is one reality, what should move away from what? That moving away is pratiti matram. It's just an observation. It's vyavahara. There seems to be something and something else which moves away. But there is no two things. This is said without even saying it in so many words. By simply saying that guru ityesha manisham. He did not say neither has to move anyway. He did not answer that. But by answering the question differently, he has made it clear there is no two things. So where is the question of one moving away from another? Second verse he said, Brahmaivahamidam jagachachakalam. All this is only Brahma. Idam means whatever I objectify. Everything that is known by the cognition of this. Idam, 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 idam. Normally idam begins outside this body. When I am healthy, when I am okay, when the body is not bothering me, idam begins outside. This table, this chair, this fan, this person, this animal. But when there is a backache, then this back becomes apparent. Until then the back I don't have. But when it pains, then this back, idam. I'm just trying to show you, this is also idam. Then this eyesight, which I cannot see, even with glasses I am not able to see who is sitting in front of me. Then that is also what now? Idam. This eye doesn't work. Then when I am in trouble, this mind doesn't have discipline, goes after all useless things. This again, idam. You objectify. When you objectify, everything becomes idam. The body, the mind, the senses, even the sukha dukkha, everything is idam. The only thing that is not idam is what? Aham. That aham is only ahamasmi sadabhami. I am and I know. Anything that you know is idam. Anything that you objectify, if you say this is, you're okay. You say this is X, idam, X is idam. Anything you add in the place of X is idam. So whatever you objectify is what? Idam. And if you don't objectify, there is no vyavahara. There is no vyavahara. Not possible. I should see a second thing to do vyavahara. Karakas are needed. There should be a kartrikaraka. For kartrikaraka to be there even, there should be some other karaka. Only karta, what will he do? All that is here is only karta. There is nothing but karta. What kriya can he do? Not possible. Therefore, minimum you need what? Two karakas. One in reality. But that one I am saying, there is only one. Whether you call him karta, karma, karana, adhikarana, makes no difference. If there is only one, what difference does it make? So I am saying this one is not the reality. But now what? Brahmaivahamidam. Brahmaiva aham idam. Therefore, both the individual and the idam, if you look at the individual without making it idam to start with, the individual and all that he objectifies, everything is what? Brahmaiva. So only Brahma. Jagat chasakalam. Entire Jagat that objectifies is Brahmaiva. Then, what is all this then? If Brahma eva idam, what is all this Jagat? Jagat chasakalam chinmatra vistaritam. I first connected Brahma eva, now I am connecting differently, okay? Brahma eva idam. Then what is all this I see? If Brahma eva aham, I am rephrasing it because I think I missed a word or two. Brahma eva aham, I am Brahman alone. That I is that I which is just consciousness. Then, idam jagatcha sakalam. Idam, whatever you call it, is this, which is the entire universe. Sakalam, whole of it, is what? Chinmatra vistaritam. It is nothing but this consciousness alone extended. Vistaritam, extended. This is very clear to us in a dream. You went to sleep, there is nobody except you. That individual also disappears in deep sleep. Then alone the dreamer comes up. Then all of a sudden there is a whole dream world. You are in Singapore. All of a sudden you are there. Whole dream world comes up. How? From where did it all come? Except me. Brahmaiva aham. This consciousness alone I am. And everything else is what? Chinmatra vistaritam. That consciousness alone appears as the dreamer and the dreamt world. There is nothing but the consciousness of the dreamer. That is Brahmaiva aham. Idam jagatcha sakalam. The entire dream world that dreamer sees, the sound he hears, the sights he sees, the smells he gets, the emotions he undergoes, all of them is what? That consciousness alone. And that is not different in the case of waking as well. The waking world has no greater reality than the dream world. Vyavahara is there. But in terms of reality, there is only one reality. That is what is being said. That entire thing is chinmatra vistaritam. Sarvam chaita davidyaya trigunaya ashesham maya kalpitam. This whole universe, ashesham, without one little thing remaining, is maya kalpitam. Is my projection. My means as Ishvara, not as an individual. Individual's projection is only a dream. As Ishvara, everything is my creation. Who can say that? Only one who sees his reality is the reality of Ishvara also. That person is saying this. Ittham yasya dridha matihi. One who knows this very clearly, whether he is a Chandala or he is a Dvija, he is my Guru. So we saw these two verses in full detail. We were looking at a third verse. Shashvan nashvarameva vishwamakhilam nishchitya vacha guruho nityam brahma nirantaram vimrishata nirvyaja shantatmana bhutam bhavicha dushkritam pradahata sanvinmaye pavake prarabdhaya samarpitam sovapuhu ityesha manisha mama. I took the last line first. I went over Prarabdhaya Samarpitam. Taking the example of Pooja Swamiji, said how he has no difficulty accepting the body also as a beautiful creation. The pain is also a manifestation of Ishvara. The pleasure is also a manifestation of Ishvara. This body is nothing but Ishvara. It's completely Ishvarized. Because every single thing in the physical body, in the psychological order, then in the physiological order, anatomical order, everything can be reduced to nothing but the total. There is only total. That total alone appears as an individual. If you look at it, there is no individual other than the total. So Vyashti and Samashti, you should understand that Vyashti, the individual, is that which has no existence separate from the Samashti, the total. That should be the way you understand Vyashti and Samashti. Then alone it becomes clear why it is so important to understand Samashti. Samashti is Ishvara, the total. But it is not a total as you take everything together and it becomes total. So they will present Hiranyagarbha as total mind. Translation is total mind. What is total mind? All individuals' mind put together is total mind. Then Ishvara will be another samsari. Okay? The fact is what? The total mind, when we mean, it means every mind has its being in him alone. That's the understanding we need to understand. That's the understanding we need to get. So that is the way you need to understand this Vyashti Samashti. So in that Vyashti Samashti, when you're able to see this individual as completely being part of the total, that alienation goes away. So the difficulties that we have is because I take myself to be an individual who stands apart from the total. I am alone. I am an individual. I am a victim. I am in trouble. If I recognize that all that is here is Ishvara, and I am not away from Ishvara in any way, in any manner, at any time, then there is no reason for me to feel unacceptable. Because I am the total. To get that understanding, we may say it 150 times, but you have to see that whatever you see as an individual, every single piece of it should be seen to be nothing but a total. That is what Pooja Swamiji does by bringing the order. So if you look at this body is what I call the individual. Am I the author? I didn't create any of it. Did I create one single cell? Don't want more. One single cell in the millions of cells in this body. If I did create, I can claim some credit. Even that is given. Where did that cell come from? Who had the intelligence to create that one cell? Not in this head. Not in my mother's head. Not in my father's head. So where did this cell come from? The cell is nothing but intelligence. Sarvajnyattvam of Ishvara is apparent in a single cell. And that Sarvajnyattvam, when you start recognizing in every piece of your body, not just in an individual cell, but how do cells work together? Why do kidney cells do what they do and the brain cells do differently? What is it that makes them do what they are? So you can see that every part of the body anatomically is the Sarvajnyattvam Ishvara. Then each sense, how do the eyes see? The dead body also has eyes. It doesn't see. Why? What makes the eyes see? What gives them that capability to see? The doctors can only go and find some anatomical problem and say, if this nerve is disconnected, I will connect it, something will happen. Or they can pull out another eye and fix it here, transplant it, and they know it works. They have experienced the fact that I can transplant an organ and it works. Again, the potential for it is given. So this eye, the sense of sight, is also given. The possibility of correcting the sense of sight using a surgery or by using a pair of glasses is also given. Sense of hearing, given. Sense of touch, given. Sense of taste, given. You start looking. Every sense is what? Ishvara. Senses are Ishvarized. Then what is remaining? Thought. Do you choose to get a given thought? Sometimes you do. But many a time, thoughts come and you are aware of them. If you just sit, it's not that you are trying to think anything. Just sit. Don't do anything. thoughts will come. Where did they come from? Who put the seed for those thoughts there? Why do they come? Why one thought now and another thought 1 minute later? Why? No answer. But there is an order. Again it's coming. So this is all again what? So manas is also Ishvara. What about this hankara who says I wake up, I did this, I did that. Where did it come from? Did I create it? In fact, I see this and then I identify with it. Therefore, that too is Ishvara. So if all of this is reduced to Ishvara, who am I? Whatever I call, I see is Ishvara. Then who am I? There is nothing but Ishvara. I can say all this is Ishvara. If all this is Ishvara, do I exist? You have two answers. I don't exist. Or, I alone exist. As Ishvara. Ishvara alone exists in this form too. This is way, two-way equation. So this is what has to be seen. And when that is seen, then the alienation is gone. So the purpose of seeing this order, seeing Ishvara as Samashti, is to remove this alienation. And at every level, to the extent you can bring in Ishvara, to that level you are free. That is the reason why we spend a lot of time on this Vyashti and Samashti equation. Taittiriya, you will see, there is a lot of it coming in. Okay, Taittiriya Upanishad. So, Shashvan, so what we saw last time, what? This Prarabdhaya Samarpitam Sovapuhu. One has completely surrendered. Surrendered means what? One no longer resists what is. One is able to accept whatever situations unfold with respect to this body, mind and sense complex. One is happily able to accept all this and live. Pain is there? Yes. In my presence, there is pain. I am aware of pain. Pain is also a glory. Why? Suppose you had no pain. A person, suddenly somebody wakes up in the middle of the night saying, I have a bad chest ache. Immediately they call a physician. They take an aspirin if they know a little better. They call a physician. Or they take them to the hospital, right? They get taken to the hospital. Why? They're afraid they're going to die. There's a heart attack coming. What made you escape the heart attack? If it was not for that pain, you would never go to a physician. You would die away peacefully. So the pain is also a blessing. Every pain of the physical body is a symptom of something not being right, which enables us to go to a physician. So I'm saying you can look at it at every level. Everything can be seen as a blessing. We cannot normally accept pain as a blessing because I think it is undesirable. Pain is undesirable. I don't like it. Nobody likes it. But the fact is, it is there. The possibility of trying to solve the pain is given. And the possibility the pain will go is given. The possibility pain may not go is also given. All this is Ishvara. And if we start seeing the presence alone in all these emotions and forms, then I am never away from Ishvara. That is the purpose of Vyashti and Samashti. And when one sees this all the way, that everything is happening in the presence of Ishvara, nothing is my making, I am just a cognitive being. See, being a cognitive person means you only know. Right? In cognition, what is involved? Just a vritti. Like, there is a clock in front of me. There is light. You are aware of things. There is pain. I am not in pain. I am aware of pain. I am not in sorrow. I am aware of sorrow. Therefore, being cognitive means actually you are free from anxieties, free from concerns. In fact, the will is suspended when you are cognitive. There is no will. Will has no role when you are cognitive. Where does pain begin? Pain begins when there is a wrong identification. And then the conclusion is, there is a conclusion, a child's conclusion that this is not good enough for me. I am not okay with this pain. Then there is resistance. Then there is a tendency to control. I want to change this. I don't like it. Will walks in. The will exerts, you get tired. And the pain continues. Because the pain is a fact. It doesn't go away. It may go away with your will. It may not. That's That's not a guaranteed aspect. Therefore, prarabdha is what? Whatever karma phalas have to be enjoyed by this body, the situation it has to go through are all coming your way one after the other. And a jnani, it doesn't mean he won't do anything about it. If a jnani has chest ache, he will also go to a doctor. He can also approach a physician. The difference is what? He doesn't panic. Now my end is coming. You know, what will I do? None of those. Okay? If this body has to be taken care of, do what has to be done. If there's a pain, there's a pain. Being objective to everything is prarabdhaya samarpitam. It's not doing anything, but it is being objective to this body and the situation it finds itself in. So a person who can live like this, being objective to everything that he faces, is a jnani. And that person is being saluted as, he is Guru Ityesha Manisha Mama. So we did that line. Now I will come back to the previous portion. I had 10 more minutes. Okay. Shashvan Nashvara Vishvameva Makhilam Nishchitya. See, this is the first step. In general, first step in terms of a spiritual growth. Until, see, our normal perception is that situations decide whether I am comfortable or not. If a situation decides whether I am comfortable or not, naturally, what should I try to do? I should try to make sure that I adjust the situations, I maneuver the situations, I manipulate the situations. Okay? I do everything in my capacity to make the situation favorable. This is what I do. How do I do that? I use all the resources I have at my hand. My will is fully behind trying to modify the situation. Okay? Situation can also include the mind. Manipulating the mind. All that is included. But then, what is really the nature of happiness? Does any situation remain the way it is? That a situation evolves in time. That a situation is born in time. Means what? It was not there before. It is born at some point in time. And next instant, time has changed. The world isn't time and space. You at least have two dimensions, time and space. So if time changes, your point in the graph is not the same anymore. You know, you have like two axes. If one axis changes, you no more have the same thing. So time is constantly moving. Before you say is, it has become was. You cannot say is without it becoming was. Therefore, Swamiji will say, born, normally our thinking is what? Born, is, gone. Born, is, gone. Now, reduce the time interval. Okay? Between born and is there an interval in our mind? Born, is. There is an interval. Therefore, you can say born, is. Then is. We want this is to continue forever. But one day, gone. Right? Now, this is what? Time. 1 hour? 1 minute? 1 second? Keep reducing it where it tends to zero. What is the difference between born, is and gone? Think. What's the difference between born, is and gone? Time, that length of time. Time is a length. A length superimposed. That length you cut to zero. Visualize it. What is the difference between born, is and gone? So then Swamiji says, when you do that, your language goes for a toss. You can now say, gone is born. Born, gone is. Is born, gone. Anything you can say makes no difference because everything is an instant. It's all one instant. This is the nature of the whole universe. Because everything that you objectify is in time and space. Even though right now people here have jet black hair in front of me, this jet black hair is becoming grey as I speak. We are not seeing it. It will become visible after 25 years maybe. But it is becoming white right now. That becoming is the nature of time. Therefore, Shashvan Nashwaram. Nashwaram. Nash Adarshane. Dhatu is Nash Adarshane. Becoming invisible. Unmanifest. What is the nature of a second? Of a fraction of a second? It's there. It's gone. Gone. Before you hear the sound, it is gone. What is this? Going into unmanifest. Becoming manifest. Becoming unmanifest. This is called Nashwara. It is always subject to being. See, the word Nasha is taken as destruction. There is no destruction of anything except it becoming unmanifest. That's real destruction. Suppose this clock is completely unmanifest. How will it become unmanifest? Some solid piece like this clock. How will it become unmanifest? Not by my hiding it. One possibility. Suppose it's right here and it become unmanifest. How? It has to be atomized, okay? What do you call that? The clock is completely destroyed. That is destruction. That is Nasha. Nasha is really only Adarshanam. And interestingly, see, when I say Pathati, what do you understand? Saha Pathati. He reads. Saha Gachati. He goes. Suppose I say Saha Nashyati. What do you understand? What do you understand? He destroys? No. He is destroyed. This Nasha, Nashadhatu, has got it's an akarmaka dhatu. It acts on itself. Okay? The fruit decays. English also. The fruit decays. Man goes. Is decays and goes in the same way? Goes takes a karma. Decays doesn't. Which means what? The language also reflects the understanding of the human being. Whatever is, just destroys itself. It doesn't stay. Whatever is born in time has to go. It's only a matter of time. Shashvan Nashwaram. Shashvat means always. Shashvan Nashwaram. So it is not coming and going one day. It's not that one thing comes and stays forever, another thing goes. We say Phalgutaya Liyate Iti Phalam. That which decays very quickly in time is called phalam. But then everything is karma phala. The phala we are talking about is the fruit, like an apple or a mango or a guava. But then what is it that you see? What is this clock? Karma phalam. What is this mic? Karma phalam. What is this book? Karma phalam. What's a thought? Karma phalam. What's a body? Karma phalam. Everything is born in time. And therefore, in that same time is its destruction. It's unmanifestation. Shashvan Nashwaram. This is all the time constantly vanishing. Constantly being destroyed. Constantly going out of existence. Shashvan Nashwaram. What is that? Vishvam Akhilam. Vishvam. Vividha Pratyaya Gamyam Vishvam. The entire world. Why entire world? Vividha Pratyaya Gamyam. That which is known by various cognitions. Is there anything in the world that you know without a cognition? Other than I am. For a normal person, there is nothing. If you know a little Vedanta, you can say one thing I know without any cognition. But otherwise, you have to say, there is nothing which can be known without a cognition. I am self-evident. Everything else, that everything is not an upachara. If I say, everyone in this class is brilliant, it may not mean every single individual. It may more or less everybody. If I say, everyone is hardworking, everyone is very well, nobody is sick. It doesn't mean nobody is sick. Somebody may have a cough. Right? But this sarvam, Shashvanashvara Vishvamevam Akhilam. Right? Akhilam is there? Yeah. Akhilam. Akhilam means what? Khila means remaining. Khila means remaining. Akhilam. Without anything remaining. That shows very clearly that this is not an upachara. Every single thing that you can objectify. Vishvam. Everything which can be known by cognition without anything being left behind. That is Vishvam Akhilam. All objects of cognition without exception is Vishvam Akhilam. Means the whole universe is covered. Vishvam Akhilam is what? Nashwaram. Subject to destruction. Subject to becoming unmanifest. When? Once in a while? Shashwan. Constantly. All the time it is happening. Iti. Having understood this, what do? You understand that the situations I am trying to create are all temporary. I will make, it will be unmade. I make, it will be unmade. How many ever times I try, this is not going to end. This pursuit of trying to fix a situation is a never ending chore. If I understand this, there is some viveka. Now there may be some questioning. What is the purpose of doing this? And what the viveka will lead to, we'll see next Saturday. Okay? Weekly class now. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.